Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and with us today, we have a special guest. We have Jimmy Lutz, who is going to announce his new bow sponsorship. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we should point out, first off, Jimmy Lutz is the, I guess you would be still the reigning world champion since 2020 didn't really happen.
Right. This year, maybe I could defend the title. We'll see.
Gotcha. So, Jimmy, tell us about the new bow company that you're shooting for. You got your shooter jersey on there.
Yep, the new Darton jersey. But so I switched to Darton Archery. I was talking to Randy Kitts about it. And, well, basically, I didn't even really know what company it was. He just told me, hey, would you be interested in shooting for me if I had a bow company, started one? I had no clue what he was talking about. And I just said, yep, I'm in. Just get me a bow whenever you can. And then, my old contract was up in October. And from there I told him I'm in. And then when he told me it was Darton, I was even more excited because I've got a little bit of experience with Darton. My dad has always hunted with a Darton, and, I know it's a very trusted brand, and I'm excited to kind of bring it back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're it, you're the only one right now. Randy said yep. I could only bring on one and it was going to be Jimmy. How does that feel?
I mean, it's cool. It's definitely different. It's interesting being able to, you know, get phone calls from Rex and Ted over at Darton and, you know, talk about the bows, talk about any changes that we want to see, anything like that. It's just a whole different experience for me because I can actually give input and see stuff changing, you know, try new things and really test it out.
Now, you're obviously a very good shooter anyway, but you got the Darton bows, the target bows, and I believe you set up the Tempest. And I was talking to Randy last week. I think he said you had it for about 3 weeks before you headed to Gator Cup, and then that's what you shot at Gator Cup.
Yep. I was really excited to shoot it. Before that, I had the Vegas, the old Vegas with the shoot-through cable, and I'm not really a big fan of a shoot through riser, even, you know, it's just everything feels weird to me with that. And I wasn't comfortable with it. I wasn't shooting it like I know I could. I was shooting it well. I just didn't have the confidence in myself with it. And then he sent me out the Tempest and I'm like, this is it. You know, it was the first time I saw the E system. I'm like, this is what I need. This is perfect for me. I set it up, maybe shot it 2 days, and then I had to go on a hunt. And then I got home 2 days before Gator Cup and really tried to shoot as much as I could to get even more used to it. I mean, it's a great shooting bow. It's super smooth. It's super comfortable. So it wasn't that hard, but it definitely, I mean, I didn't get to shoot it in the wind at all until I got there. So I had to learn a lot while I was in competition, which was tough. But I mean, I'm happy with a fourth place with a brand new bow that I didn't get much time with.
I just to back up a second, I liked how you said it. And then I had to go on a hunt. That's... That's the life right there.
It was going to be like a month before, but then we rescheduled it. And then it's just a nightmare of a 2 weeks, but didn't get a deer either. So,
for somebody your level, I don't know what this is like. So, I mean, this is obviously a very different bow than you had been shooting. Is there a big like change for you, or is it a bow?
It's probably, I would say, a little bit more of a change for me than most shooters, most of my peers, just because I'm basically 100% feel. I shoot 80% let off, which a lot of people don't do. I mean, I don't really load my bars up, so a lot of it's feel, and that's just one of the biggest changes. I mean, even like now that I'm very comfortable with the Tempest now, but if I pick up a different Tempest, you know, like I got to kind of just every other bow is different. You know, you got to learn how everything's going to move. So I'd say aiming was the hardest thing to get used to. But I mean, I mean, I could come out and shoot really good scores with it right away, yeah. But am I going to be confident in that in an event against the top in the world, you know, which I mean, it performed and I mean, I could have done better myself. I made a couple bad shots in the wind, but I mean, it did more than I could have asked for. So,
I like hearing the 80 that you shoot 80% let off. I'm keeping a mental running tab in my head because I was like, nobody shoots 80%. But I've been hearing more and more pros like yourself, so I'm feeling better about myself about that. But
right.
but anyway, this E system. So I have the Tempest right here, and we talked about this E system last week. It's very unique. It's this yoke system that runs through a split yoke that runs through a cable roller and then connects back to the cam. From your and two of the things that Randy said about it was the basic was that it makes it more forgiving and it's a little easier on the bow. From your standpoint as a shooter setting up the bow, what did it do for you?
I mean, it made a world of difference. I could tell right away, right as I drew the bow back out of the box, just fingers, nothing on the bow. I knew it was special. I mean, it's so smooth. And I didn't really know what I was going to do to like tune in everything.
Yeah.
I've got a Vegas with the E system behind me, that red one. And that one, I actually had to mess with the cables a little bit, twist the yokes a little bit to tune it.
Right.
Now my Tempest, I didn't really have to do anything out of the box. I just put my rest at about center shot and it was good. I mean, I'll shoot a bullet hole right away with it, but I mean, it's the draw cycle on it is, I've never felt anything like it. And for somebody that's all feel and all comfort, you know, that's really nice having a really, really easy drawing bow and be able to compete with it. You know, I mean, usually something that smooth and that that easy wouldn't be the best shooter, but no, these things are ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I Randy sent them to us and we did our video review of it, and same for me, it felt very different. And I remember telling Kyle, our video producer, I was just, you know, as he's filming me taking shots at the target, I'm like, you know, it feels different, but I keep hitting the middle.
Right.
I keep hitting the 10. It just shoots nice. It holds nice. It held really nice. That was the thing that I was surprised with. Both of them, the Vegas and the Tempest, they really aimed very well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so also. I mean, being the type of guy that doesn't load up my front bar and back bar, you know, I don't really have the option to just throw 2 ounces up front to make it sit better. You know, I mean, I've got usually 4 to 6 ounces up front. So I can't really mess around with stuff like that. You know, I really got to get used to the bow and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you were shooting Gator Cup, obviously, for those who don't know, that's an outdoor competition. So you're shooting 50 meters. That's why we're talking about the wind. What have you been doing for indoor?
I really wasn't doing a whole lot after that. After Gator, I kind of took a break, and then, I've been working with Rex and Randy and everybody over there and just talking about bows, you know, getting everything ready for the upcoming season. And then everything got canceled. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, take a break, just get ready for outdoor season. Basically, I didn't even take my bow apart for indoor yet. And then when the South Dakota shoot got announced, I'm like, okay, well, we'll set. So last night I set everything back up. I was in Florida the past week on a vacation, but I set everything back up, and you know, I'm actually an inch and a half longer draw length than my outdoor bow. My peep is an inch higher. My anchor is different. And I'm just pounding with it. I mean, I shot 230X games last night, just right after I set it up. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to not move anything and just shoot.
And that's the Tempest still. Yeah.
Yep. I shot the Tempest. It's just kind of a comfortable platform. And I think it would be for anybody. It's if you like a shoot through, the Vegas is, I mean, it feels just as smooth. It's the same draw cycle, same cam system, same E system on it.
Right.
But if you prefer a shoot through, then the Vegas is perfect.
That's incredible. 230X games. That's not bad there. That would play at Vegas, right?
I just got to do it at Vegas. That's the problem.
How old are you?
22.
It's got to feel pretty cool or different or unique, or I don't know how it would feel to be like 22 years old, Darton obviously has been around the industry for a long time, but Randy's goal in buying it is to kind of reinvigorate it. I mean, to be honest, Darton has been around, but we just haven't heard much about it in the last several years. Actually, when I started shooting in the early 90s, Darton was one of the major players, but you know, they've been quiet the last couple of years. So you being 22, I mean, that's got to be cool to kind of be, I mean, you're there at the leading edge as this thing very well could be taken on a second life.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was reading the comments of your podcast with Randy and just seeing, oh, I shot my first buck with a Darton in 84 or 87 or something like that. I'm like, oh, that was 10, 12 years before I was born. Like, that's pretty cool, you know? But I mean, it's, I probably wouldn't have heard of Darton before if it wasn't for my dad. You know, he had a Darton bow. He loved his Darton bow, hunting bow. I mean, that the one sitting behind me has got to be older than me. And he got me a Darton when I was younger, but otherwise I probably wouldn't have ever heard of him. You know, they don't do much advertising, and but now we're gonna bring it back. We're gonna make it one of the leading bow brands again. I mean, with this e-system and what they got going, they definitely can. So I just need to do my part in shooting and placing well.
Yeah, especially in the tournament scene. I have to admit, I don't remember. In the early 90s, there was a lot of crossover. A hunting bow was a target bow. There was a lot of that. But I remember them as a hunting bow primarily. But yeah, coming into the target scene, obviously Randy is deep there and he wants to get that going.
Right.
What's your plan right now? I mean, 2021, there's a lot of question marks, but what is your competition plan for 2021? What are you going to shoot? What are you planning to do?
I've kind of said this last year, but it didn't really work out that well for me. I want to get into 3D more. The little that I shot it, I wasn't any good at it. And I got LASIK eye surgery basically just for 3D so I could see rings, see targets. And last year, just with USATs and then cancellations and COVID, and I mean, it just didn't really work out. I couldn't really make it to any. But I'm looking forward to all the ASAs. I'm not going to be able to go to Foley because of the Pan Am Championships in Mexico, but I'm planning on going to all of those, and then I'll continue with all the USATs. Right now, I'll probably have to favor USATs over ASAs if they are on the same weekend, just because of we have world championship trials coming up and world championships this next year or this coming year.
Yeah. What do they tell you? What have you heard so far about what USATs and world archery competitions are going to look like now?
So it sounds like USATs are going to kind of be like they were last year. It could change obviously, but same rules as far as like spacing and COVID stuff. Masks at the targets and stuff. I believe that's all going to stay the same. Now, World Trials, I know they're still talking about exactly how they're going to do that. But, I mean, that should be figured out pretty soon here. But I'm assuming it's going to be kind of like every other year where they take a couple of qualifications from different tournaments and then at one event, you all top 8 or top 16 or whatever shoot round robins. But otherwise, I believe that's going to be fairly the same as last year.
Gotcha. Let's talk a little bit about the World Championship 2019. I mean, how does that feel? You come out there and shooting through 2019, you're out there with people like Rio and Braden Gelentine, and you end up on top.
Right. I mean, it's kind of weird to talk about because everything there was just such a blur. And like when I'm in a competition and competing to win, you know, I don't really like think of anything. It just kind of happens at the end of the day. You know, I'll be like, oh cool, like I just did that, you know. You don't really notice what's happening. It's an honor to be with the names of like Rio and Dave Cousins and everybody who's won that in the past, and just to come out my first year and be able to do that. I mean, that could be something I'll never have a chance to win again, you know.
Right. But, that's cool. Now let's talk about your shooting style a little bit, because fortunate or not, there's the scene with you in the classic, I think it was last year on the final stage, where you typically shoot a thumb button. I'm assuming you're still shooting that and shooting it like a lot of the guys, Kyle Douglas, who shoot Robert Householder, who shoot command style. tell me what that feels like. The scene in the classic I'm talking about is that you had a pretty good flinch. You held it together.
Yeah, that's kind of a mixture of things. The flinch happens. It's because I don't shoot that much holding weight at all. So when I get really, really comfortable, I'll possibly creep a little bit, you know? It's happened to me. Well, when I broke my arm is when I switched to 80%. So ever since then, it's happened to me. I've been controlling it pretty well lately. I've been kind of building up my arm a little bit so I can pull into it a lot more. And so it's happening a lot less to me. I think the classic was the last time it happened. But Lewis Holmes, I used to shoot with him a lot. He's 30, 40 minutes away from me. He always hated shooting next to me because it would freak him out. practicing when I'm just relaxed and there's nothing, like I'm not thinking of anything, you know, it could happen, but I've never shot during it. So I've never really, it's never messed me up in any way. And I worked on shooting after it happens to try to stay strong after it happens. And then on the classic stage when it's timed and, you know, I didn't really want to let down and risk not getting a shot off, you know, you got to go for it. I mean, I hit a 10 with that arrow.
You recovered, I was going to say, yeah, you did recover after that. What is your, how are you activating that trigger? What's happening in your hand to make it go off?
So a lot of people are probably going to wish I didn't say this, but I punch it.
okay.
I remember Cam has a video of me at in Virginia this year, and it was no stopping of the movement, just boom, punch. And that's a wind shot for me. Typically I'll always have my thumb on the trigger, and you know, I've never had an experience with target panic. I'm hoping I never will. I don't think I ever will. I think I'm mentally too strong for it. I don't know if that's a thing or if I just get lucky, but I punch it pretty good. I mean, I'll sit there in the middle for 2 seconds and then let it go. I mean, I don't want to hold it any longer, you know?
Well, I've in talking to enough pros, like I mentioned, Kyle Douglas won Vegas, Robert Householder, 2-time ASA known pro shooter of the year. If you can, and I mean, Tim Gillingham has even said, if you can control it, what's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
That's the issue, is when you can't control it.
I remember talking to Tim in Lancaster and he said, hey, you better watch out. Kyle's punching now. I'm like, okay, this could be interesting. You know, I wasn't really that good friends with Kyle then, but I mean, he started punching and he made it to the top 8 in Lancaster. I had a shoot against him and like, oh, this is going to be scary, you know? And then he goes, wins Vegas, wins indoor nationals. You know, wins the classic, the ASA classic. I mean, he's at the top right now. And I mean, he's making it look easier than anybody could. So,
yeah. So what do you think, what did he say to people who, I mean, you know, punching generally is looked down on, but it seems to me from where I'm sitting that it is gaining more popularity. And I have to be honest, when I shoot an index finger, yeah, I punch it. That's just the way it is. But what do you tell people about, you know, you're calling it punching, but it is, you have control of it.
Yeah. I would say it's a control command type shot. I'll never teach anybody to punch. I've seen, if you put a thumb release in Tate Morgan's hand and give him 10 shots with it, you know, he won't touch a bow for a couple weeks. It can really mess with people. So, I mean, I'm fortunate enough where it doesn't affect me, but I'll never teach anybody, tell anybody to punch. I'll teach them the right way. I mean, I think a hinge release and using a hinge correctly is a great way to shoot. I can't do that. I can't have that much movement in my shot. So, I shot a hinge growing up and I was all right, but when I got my thumb release is when I really started noticing a difference in the way I shoot.
No kidding. Which release do you shoot, by the way?
Right now I'm shooting the True Ball Abyss.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's the same one that I've shot past 2.5 years, I think.
Heavy trigger pull or light?
Super light.
Super light. Okay.
Yeah, when I load it, you can't even, like, you have to load it upside down because the weight of the trigger will put it off.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes. That's one of the scary parts for people is, I mean, anybody can punch, but when you punch, when it's something that you literally could breathe on and it could go off, that's when it gets scary for people.
Right. Gotcha. Huh. Well, in getting back to your schedule, we had a little sidetrack there. So ASAs, you mentioned that you want to add that into your repertoire there. What do you see as the challenges?
So I grew up playing golf, big golfer. I play to this day. I love it. And I kind of see that as like the golf archery, you know, it's very, every shot is different. Every shot you have to look at a completely different way. It's more strategy than just sitting there with a blank mind shooting. And I really like that. I'm going to shoot unknown this next year coming year, which I'm looking forward to. I mean, that just adds to the fun for me. Nice. I'm going there. I need to look at the targets, get used to everything before I feel like I can win, but I'm going there to get the experience. And maybe I could put together, maybe my shooting can help out my judging and put together something all right down there.
But gotcha. Right. You're in Wisconsin. How close are you to Dan McCarthy?
I think I'm like 2 hours away from him. Gotcha. I think he's down southwest, I believe, but
closer to Lewis.
Yeah. Yep. But my parents have some land about 10 miles away from me. So we got lanes cut, and we're going to throw some targets out there when the snow clears up, if it ever does.
Gotcha. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned that LASIK surgery. Before that, did you shoot with contacts? I don't remember seeing you shoot with glasses.
I shot with contacts right before the surgery. You have to go a certain period of time without wearing contacts. So I had to shoot with glasses for the Midwest Open, I think it was.
Okay. And so what did that do for you? You said you got LASIK, so now you can do 3D. How did that improve your vision?
I was legally blind in my left eye. I couldn't see an arrow at 20 yards. It was pretty rough. I shoot with an 8-power lens and no clarifier, and that's just because I couldn't see no matter what I shot in it. So why not? You know, I get something blurry and it looks like normal to me. So after LASIK, I can see, I can see perfectly now. I have like 20/10 vision or whatever it is, but I can see exactly where the arrow is without binoculars at 20 yards. I can see in FITA, it was a big difference. And it was a big adjustment. I had to, I could see the lines in my lens of the target. I could shoot and without even looking at my spotting scope, I could know exactly where it is. I couldn't do that before. And which I think that helped me in a confidence part because immediately I get instant feedback right as I shoot. I don't have to, that felt good. I wonder where it is. I get instant feedback and that's a big thing. Now on a 3D target, I didn't shoot any 3D since I've had it, but I've looked at targets quite a bit. And I can see rings at 40 yards, 45 yards, easy. So it's just going to be getting a lens set up that works with my eyes. But LASIK is definitely the best thing I've ever done.
I heard Dave Cousins mention that he likes for indoor, he likes the target to be a little bit blurry. You are already blurry. Just looking right at it. Did that? I'm guessing. All you needed to see really was yellow.
Right. I shoot with a very, very small black dot. So whether it's FITA, Vegas, target, anything, I would just center my dot in the yellow. I like to simplify things. That's the easiest way I can think of. I don't like having to deal with a post or a pin or anything like that, that can change during different lightings. I like just a tiny black dot.
What will your 3D setup look like?
I'll shoot a pin for that. I tried a dot and it doesn't work.
Yeah, but it'll disappear.
Yeah, I'll shoot a pin. I'll have a light kit on it and everything. Yeah. I'll shoot a 6-power lens, and then I'll have to match the clarifier with whatever works best for me. But
gotcha. Yeah. That to finish my thought out. Obviously, that blur thing that doesn't work in 3D. You need to see where you're. Because there's nothing to look at.
Right. And I shot, I think, 3 ASAs up until now, and all of them were, it was before LASIK, so they were all just blur.
Gotcha,
It was fun, but I couldn't compete. And, that made me want to compete even more.
Yeah.
And, it was rough. But
now, why would you pick unknown? I mean, that's great. We like to see another top shooter get into that class, but yeah, why not known over that?
I kind of got convinced a little bit by Dan. I look up to Dan, and I'm really glad that I can represent Black Eagle with him and Conquest. And, him winning Shooter of the Year last year or 2 years ago, I mean, that really was like, man, you know, that's really cool. Like, he's out there just judging the targets. You know, Levi, Dan, Jack Wallace, they're all like, it sounds way more fun to me. And when it comes to 3D, I want to go have a good time and eventually be able to compete. Cause I know, I mean, nobody's just going to walk in on their first day and win an unknown round. You know, that just doesn't happen. So,
right. Have you been practicing judging distance, or that's what you said? You got targets set up at your parents. You're going to start doing that, or
yep,
have you been doing that doing anyway?
That. Yeah, I've been doing a little bit. I would go out. I shoot outdoors at my parents because I get 30 yards in here, but I'll go out there and shoot outdoors, and my dad will mess around with me, and we'll just walk around the woods and, you know, judge stuff. But I'm going to start seriously judging once we get the targets out in the range. And my dad, he wants me to do 3D more than anybody, because that's what he likes to do. So he would like to do that with me. And he's talking, oh, I'll go out and set up the targets in a different spot every day, so it's not the same yardages. You know, you got to, like, all right.
Yeah.
It's just going to help me get better. So
that's cool. Have you identified one yet that you hate already? A target? Everybody seems to have one they really hate.
Other the cougar, the Black Panther, that, but just basically because I had bad eyes then and it was just a big black blur.
Right.
But I like the Javi. I know a lot of people don't like the Javelina, but I mean, I can actually see it. I can see aiming dots, and like, I think I'll like that target. But otherwise, I think I don't mind any target. I really like the Taper because you can see your arrow holes really well in that. But
the Javelina, I found through my binoculars, man, I know exactly where to shoot. But as soon as I can't see that well, then it's difficult. But I imagine if I could see it clearly, that would be a good one, because you can orient off those dots where you need to aim.
Right. And I've got no excuses now not to be able to see anything. So,
all right. So ASA, you're going to. So I think the second one is they moved Coleman back, or they moved Russell County back to the end of August. So I think the second one may be Paris, Texas. So you would be planning to go to that one.
Yep. I'm planning on going to all of them, except if they overlap with the FIDA. So at least until this year's over with World Championships being over. Otherwise, I mean, FIDA right now for me is more important. I mean, I'm better at FIDA than I am at 3D. So
right. Well, and actually, great. That's exactly what I wanted to segue into, because we see a lot of new competition archers. They come up and they want to go into 3D. You know, there's a lot of archers out there, but there is this whole USAT system out there, 50 meters, and folks like you who excel at it. What would you tell someone who has never been to one?
I mean, it's a lot of arrows. It's a lot of fun if you like targets. If you're a 3D guy, you might not like it. But it's a lot of arrows, and it's a lot of wind. That's basically how I'll put it. I mean, it's if you don't like wind, if wind could give you target panic, you're going to hate it. But if you like the challenge of, you know, aiming off or bubbling or however people deal with the wind, that's why it's so fun to me. Everybody thinks it could be boring or something because you're just sitting there at one distance shooting at a yellow spot just like you are in indoors, but when you get wind involved, it's a whole different competition, you know.
I had never done a 50 meter round in competition, and then last year Lancaster Archery Academy, they had a 50 meter outdoor shoot, so I was like, I'm gonna go shoot that. So I went and shot it, and I remember I saw Rio Wild at a 3D the next weekend. I went up to him and I said, hey man, I got to tell you, that is legit. That is hard work. I'm used to 3D. You know, maybe you shoot 20 arrows in a day. I said, man, I get up there and shoot an X. I got to shoot five more, five more hours, do the exact same thing.
Right. That's the hard part. It's a big mental game, and people really wouldn't think that. I mean, if you go put up two bad shots, you got four arrows left to think about your two bad shots, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It can really mess with you, but
that's a workout. And yeah, the wind there, boy, that is, I mean, there's people talk about, we see comments all the time for the 3D. They're like, oh, what's with the umbrellas and all that stuff, you know, for shading, for wind. You guys get none of that.
If we did, that would be fun, but I'd have to be paying somebody a lot to stand up there for 4 hours and hold an umbrella for me. But
I stood there on the range last year at Outdoor Nationals behind you, and you were shooting, and it was straight down pouring as hard as it could rain. And you guys are shooting.
See, I love the extreme weather. I'm the type, I'm the person, and everybody that I shoot with, I mean, Tate, Braden, they all hate it because I'm hoping for the rain. I'm hoping for the wind. I want the conditions to be as bad as possible because a lot of people get scared off and make bad shots because of that. Like the experienced people like Braden and Rio, and I mean, they're used to that. They know how to do it, but a lot of people, wind, especially, I mean, I'm a puncher, so wind is more favorable for me than it is for a hinge release person.
Right. But definitely. Now, oh, yeah, that's so those damn conditions, I imagine wind is probably easy to practice in. If it's pouring outside, will you go out and practice in that?
So I actually shoot at my parents. I shoot in basically like in between two tree lines. So I don't really get any wind by me. Okay. I don't get, and I stand under a like shed door basically. So I don't get rain, but there is a bow club down the road that if I'm going to somewhere that's known to be very windy, if we're going to like Dublin, Ohio or something, I'll go down there, you know, for one training session out of the day just to deal with that wind. Wind is easy to shoot in if your muscles are strong enough, if you know, you know, when to shoot, when to time the wind. Like, you're doing a lot more listening to the wind and feeling the wind than you would think. You know, you're not just shooting and trying to put it in the middle. You're really timing everything up, and it's a game in itself, just playing the wind.
And is that something, is that a skill you think you pick up by practicing it, or is it a thing where you just competition, you just have to do it?
I mean, there's definitely practice with it. I showed up to my first ever USAT was Arizona Cup in 2018, I believe, 2018. And there's typically not that much wind there, but I think that year it was pretty windy, and I never shot anything more than 20 yards. I had no idea what I was doing there. And it was a nightmare. I mean, wind came and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to play against the wind.
Yeah.
And then just the very next one, I think I improved my score by like 30 or 40 points just because at home I went out when it was windy. I shot when it was windy. I learned what to do. I learned how to time it. You know, it's a skill in itself to be able to play the wind like the top guys in archery.
Yeah. Well, in rain, what's the main challenge? Is it, I would think it would be that you'd start hitting low, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I watch for is when it rains. I don't know exactly what causes it. I haven't looked into it. I hear that it makes your string wet, so it's running slower, or it's hitting the arrow and knocking it down. I just start aiming higher as I go, really. The more I get rained on, I'll click my sight. Like in Virginia when it was just downpouring the whole time, I moved my sight there. But I know in the Netherlands, we shot one match that it was just straight downpour. And I knew what to do. I knew what my bow was going to do. I was comfortable with my equipment. And I shot a 150, and the next best score was like a 146, 147. And that was the first match of the event. And I'm like, okay. Like, here we go. I got this. But I don't practice in rain that much. I don't really ever get a chance to, and I don't want to get my equipment all wet. I mean, it probably ain't going to hurt it, but
right.
It's not, I don't really want to soak my bow, but
that's how I feel. I just see that rain. I'm like, I don't want to take my bow out in that.
Right. Right. I don't think I would ever take it out in rain unless I got to shoot for competition, but
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so what do you think? What do you think needs? What do we need to do to get more competitors out to these USAT events? Because I know Scott Starnes, longtime USAT archer, he always said he preferred USAT over 3D. He said simply, I like to shoot my bow too much for 3D. He likes shooting a lot of arrows. You know, that's what he liked. What could we do to get more people out there?
It's a good question. I mean, people, I don't really know exactly what the mindsets are of people that aren't shooting it. Cause I didn't even know it was a thing until the week before I went to my first one. You know, I'm like, oh, there's actually events that do this. Cool. This isn't just like an Olympic thing. And, but I don't think people would necessarily be scared of it unless they're worried about like a target panic thing in the wind, which I could understand that. I've seen some big mental blowups before out on the USAT range because wind comes and people got to pull out a thumb button or something like that. But I mean, it's usually typically a fun time unless it's pouring rain. But I mean, even at that, we're always in a sunny area where it's just a refreshing rain, to be honest. But I definitely think we can get more people there. It's just a matter of, you know, planning it. I know the past couple of years there's been some over 3Ds, and I know a lot of people, especially the people down south that might travel to these, are going to the 3Ds that are down south. So, and maybe people don't want to change their bow setups. You know, I'm fortunate where I can have multiple bows. You know, some people can't have multiple bow setups, so they don't want to be flipping back and forth to big arrows to skinny arrows, because you're not going to be bringing 23s out to a 3D or to a FITA.
That wouldn't work too well, especially windy or rainy.
Right. I might try it. That kind of sounds fun, but I don't know.
What do you do anything different as far as weight between? Well, actually, you got a 60-pound max for USATs, but I don't know if you shoot more. Would you shoot more than that for 3D? Would you go to 70?
Yep. Shooting unknown, I would probably just get right to the max speed. That way, my judging errors won't hurt me as much as it probably would. I'll probably shoot 70 pounds or whatever I need to. I'll definitely spend a couple days on a setup making sure everything is exactly the right speed, exactly what I want it. And but yeah, I mean, I'll probably shoot 23s just so I don't have to shoot 75 pounds or whatnot to get 27s going as fast. Right. I'll definitely be shooting the speed.
You mentioned you shoot Black Eagle and Conquest, you know, two great companies there. What is your stabilizer setup? What lengths and weights do you have on your bars?
So right now I have a 30-inch 625 and a 12-inch 625 back bar. On the front, I actually have 6 ounces right now, which is I put two on. Shooting Darton, I feel like I had to load the front up a little bit more. So loading the front up for me is 2 more ounces. You know, loading the front up for Mike or Stefan might be 10 ounces. Yeah, but right. And then I have eight ounces out back, which probably for outdoors, I would add a little bit more here and there just for the extra stability in the wind. But the way I shoot in the wind, I mean, punching, you don't really have to sit there for a long time and pull and push, and you know, it's, you can kind of control that on your own. But
what would it do for your setup if you were to set up that huge stabilizer rig like Mike Schlosser runs?
I mean, I would definitely have to go to like a 65% let off.
Okay, it would be the pull. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if I went to 65% let off, I would definitely put more on it right now. The weight that I have on it right now would feel like nothing with 65% let off. And I mean, that's one reason why I do run less. People always ask me, oh, why do you only run 4 ounces out front? Went to a couple feeders last year with 2 ounces up front. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm just sitting there holding it. I'm not pulling or anything like most of these guys are. So yeah, Mike can have 60 ounces out front, but I could never do that, you know?
Right. Yeah. I had heard people talk about, you know, with the higher let off, if you had all that weight, it would feel like nothing. I mean, your whole setup, you'd be very movable.
Right.
Mike
Schlosser shot my bow in the Netherlands actually. And he was like, how do you do this? It feels like a feather. Yeah. And then I was about to shoot his bow and I can't remember who was with me, Braden and Chris, I think. And they're like, hey dude, don't, you're going to hurt your arm there. It was kind of right after my arm recovered from surgery, they're like, hey, let's calm down. You're going to hurt your arm. His bow might break your arm. But
I don't even know how he holds that thing up.
Oh, he must pull harder than anybody could. I don't know. It's wild.
I took a picture once of the end of his front bar, and I forget, I counted up how many ounces he had on there, but then he puts a big chunk on the riser right under his hand too. I think he has 10 ounces or something right there.
Yeah. He must just be a big, strong corn fed Dutchman. I don't know.
That's crazy. what do you see? You're adding 3D to your game. What are you looking for? What's your goals for the future in competitive archery?
My goals are to grow myself as well as Darton. I think I have an amazing opportunity with what I've got going on right now. I mean, I'm the only pro shooting for Darton right now. That's, you don't ever really see that. Look what Paige did with Bowtech. Like, I didn't really know much about Bowtech, but I knew a lot about Paige, and now Bowtech is one of the biggest brands out there. So, I mean, that's my goal. I need to practice harder than I ever have, work harder, work on my health, work on my archery. You know, I need to start shooting better to really blow Darton up. I can't take a couple podium places here and there. You know, I need to win stuff, and that's what I'm going to work on.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. We certainly thank 2019 world champion Jimmy Lutz for being here. Jimmy, thanks for taking the time with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Folks, you can find the Competition Archery Media Podcast on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. And don't forget to go back through our library. We have a lot of good content there. Thanks for being with us today.